Hey everyone, welcome back to Teen Apologetics. I'm so pumped you're joining us today. Today I have Dr. Liz Jackson. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Philosophy at Toronto Metropolitan University. And today we're going to be talking about faith and philosophy and all kinds of stuff. So Liz, thank you so much for joining me. How are you today?
Yeah, doing good. I wore my Chiefs shirt, if you might say. The Super Bowl was last night. I know this will be released later, but have to throw it in there. Go Chiefs. So I'm from Kansas, so I'm a fan for sure. I wasn't just a Taylor Swift bandwagoner, but anyway, yeah, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I was going to actually say something about the Chiefs shirt, and then it kind of passed my mind as we were getting into it, because I was rooting for the Chiefs as well, because good. As a Steeler fan, I was like, oh, well, if the Niners win, that's 6 Super Bowls and that ties us. So that's not okay. So completely unrelated reasons, not related to being from Kansas or Taylor Swift, but I mean, I was happy as well.
I'm all about it. I heard the rumor on the street is that people are now going anti-Chiefs because they've been winning too much. So any like outside support, I will take.
So today we're going to talk about like faith and things like that. So Liz, maybe to start off, do you want to talk about like who you are, like kind of what you do, what got you interested in like writing and thinking about like what faith is?
Yeah, for sure. So like you said, I teach philosophy in Toronto. It's actually a really large university, although a lot of people in the States often haven't heard of it, but yeah, Toronto Metropolitan University. And I really, my research is kind of on both epistemology, so kind of questions about knowledge and rational belief, and then philosophy of religion. And so when you're kind of interested in those topics, religious epistemology, I think thinking about faith is a pretty natural thing to think about. And we'll kind of get in this more, you know, in a bit, but like one big question is like, if faith goes beyond the evidence, how could faith be rational? How could faith be epistemically rational? That's a huge question. And I even remember like studying philosophy as an undergrad and just kind of like thinking like, that's like really puzzling. And I'm not like here to say it now, I figured it all out, but that is kind of what got me interested in kind of thinking more about ways we might kind of solve this puzzle about faith. And I'll get into this more too. Or maybe I'll just say it now, actually, like my general definition of faith that I give in this article is that it's just a trusting commitment to someone or something. And obviously it's very important to for religion, has an important religious component. But at the same time, I think faith is a feature of a lot of our lives, pretty much everyone's lives. I know some people say, I don't have faith or whatever, but they have commitments, you know, they have friends, they have family, they have life projects. And so I actually think faith, as I've gotten into it more, I've realized like how central of a concept it really is to so much of what we do, like even every single day. So that's another reason I think it's a really important topic.
So maybe like broadly then, Liz, how would you like define faith? Like if someone says like, well, what are you talking about with faith here?
Yeah. So I'll just say the way I have my own like view of it, but in the article, what I try to do is give like a general definition. And so that general definition is that faith is a trusting commitment to someone or something. And I, you know, we can get into this more, but I think faith is connected to trust in a lot of ways. And I also think faith is one of the big things that underlies our commitments, whether that's like a marriage or a friendship, a commitment that you might have to like your child, a religious commitment you might have to God, or even like a commitment to yourself. Like, I really want to finish this degree, or I really want to, you know, like move up in my job, or what, you know, whatever the commitment is. And I think faith is really important to like a lot of these really important, these crucial life commitments that we make. And then, like I said, it's to someone or something. So it could be to God or to other people or to yourself, but you could also have faith like in a particular form of government, or faith in recycling, or faith in the Constitution. And so faith isn't always had to other people. It can also be had to like ideals or objects.
So one of the things that's helpful here, Liz, I think, is thinking about there being different types of faith. So when you're referring to faith, like this trust in someone or something, what are some of the different types of faith at play?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say too, we're kind of talking through an article that's in the Internet Encyclopedia of Philosophy. And so I'm going to go kind of quickly, but I will point listeners, if you're like really interested in this, to that article for like more details on all of these distinctions. So I'll just sort of briefly say sort of four distinctions that I think play an important role in understanding the different kinds of faith. Okay, so the first I actually think is really important is faith as an attitude versus faith as an action. So faith as an attitude, attitudes would be like beliefs or desires or emotions. And I think faith, one kind of faith, is a lot like that. And I think faith often involves something belief-like and something desire-like. So I think faith as an attitude is maybe, I mean, I don't want to say it's the most important kind of faith, but I think it's a really important kind of faith. And then there's action-focused faith. So there's like taking a leap of faith. So faith in what you do. So I walk across a rickety bridge, in that having faith that the bridge will hold me. So there's faith as a thing in your head and faith as an action. So that's number one. I'll be faster on the others. Number two is faith that versus faith in. So we might say, I have faith that God exists. I have faith that this bridge will hold me, versus I have faith in God or faith in the bridge. So the first one, you have faith towards a statement or a proposition that's true or false. The second one, you often have towards like an object or thing or ideal. So faith that versus faith in. And then some people argue, can all faith that be reduced to faith in, or vice versa? But that's another distinction a lot of people talk about. The last two are religious faith versus non-religious faith. I kind of already talked about this, that I think faith is obviously a religious thing. An extremely important aspect of faith is the religious aspect. And actually, when you use the word faith, a lot of people think of religion, like, oh, like, does that person have faith? They often think like, you're asking if they're religious, right? But there is also non-religious faith, like faith we have in each other, in ourselves, in ideals, in like political ideals or goals we might have, those kinds of things. And then the final distinction is important faith versus mundane faith. So obviously, like I've said, sometimes we have faith in things like our marriage or our religious commitment. Often those are things that are really important. But we might have faith that my chair will hold me, or like faith that my favorite team will win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's arguably pretty important, but you know, maybe my faith that my husband's favorite team will win the Super Bowl. My husband's a Lions fan. To me, I'm like, okay, like, yeah, sure, go Lions, but like, my heart's really with the Chiefs, you know? Anyway, so the point is just that sometimes faith is these really crucial, important life projects, and sometimes faith is like a little bit more mundane, but arguably still faith. And so that's kind of another important distinction that I think can also affect the way we understand faith and how important or strong the commitment is. Like, I'm going to like work really, really hard to keep my marriage going. But like, if my office chair breaks, I'm probably just going to replace it and not work too hard to keep it, because my faith commitment to my office chair isn't that important, if that makes sense. So I'll just very quickly review. We talked about faith as an attitude versus an action, faith that versus faith in, religious versus non-religious, and then important versus mundane. So those were the four distinctions between types of faith.
Yeah. So when you're dealing with faith, Liz, it's not just like, oh, it's just like a faith in like God, like a religious type of faith, where someone who listens to this probably thinks, oh, when I think of faith, we're just thinking of like, oh, faith to Christianity is true. Or someone's like, oh, I don't have any faith, I just believe in evidence. Like just kind of like things like that. Yeah. But when we're dealing with faith, like it's not just that, like there's a lot more at play here.
I think that is like a much narrower conception of faith than what most philosophers have. And I also just think than the understanding I'm giving here, because remember, it's a trusting commitment, right? So it's not just about religion. It's not just about Christianity even. It's about like our relationships. It's about the goals that we have. It's about the things that we kind of build our lives around, communities, all of this stuff I think is really important to faith. And so, yeah, exactly. I don't think it's just a religious thing. And again, sometimes it can be really mundane things we can have faith in. And sometimes the word faith is triggering to people, especially like on the internet, people that are not super religious. And then I say like, okay, use a different word, say trust. Like, do you trust your friends and family, you know? And so then like we can, I think, still talk about faith, but use a different term for it. And that can be maybe like a less triggering thing, but I'm totally good with the word faith. Most philosophers are good with the word faith, religious and non-religious philosophers talk about faith and use the word faith all the time and don't think it's a big deal. So I'm okay with kind of following that convention for our purposes. But if someone's triggered, you can always pick a different word.
So what, like, how does like you talked about like the distinction between religious and non-religious faith, mm-hmm. Like more specifically, like what do you think about like what type of faith is like the Christian faith? Like what are we dealing here when we're talking about like being a Christian, like faith and things like that?
Yeah. So I was kind of thinking about that in terms of these four distinctions I just brought up. I think when you're talking about Christian faith, there is a biblical and theological project to be done there, where you're looking at, you know, Hebrews 11 and, you know, these different passages that talk about faith and analyzing those. I think that's great. That's just not my area of expertise. So I will talk about Christian faith in terms of kind of these philosophy distinctions. But I will say, too, like, for a full picture, you'll want to bring scripture in and sort of, kind of meld those things together is the way I would view the project. But I will say, in terms of, is Christian faith attitude focused or action focused? I mean, there's a sense in which it's both, right? Christian faith is going to affect our attitudes and it's going to affect how we act. That said, I kind of like a picture on which faith is, at least maybe not fundamentally an attitude thing, but that what we have in our attitudes in terms of faith then goes out and affects our actions, right? So if I have faith in my marriage, in the sense that I have certain beliefs and certain desires about my marriage, that is going to affect how I act. Or if I have faith in God, again, that's going to affect how I act. And so I'm open to thinking that Christian faith could be primarily an attitude thing, but then in virtue of having those attitudes, that will kind of affect what you do and your actions. And I think the book of James, for example, kind of supports that idea. Faith without works is dead. You can have faith as an attitude and isolate that, but genuine faith will sort of produce those actions. So the answer is kind of both, but maybe it starts as an attitude and then that bleeds into your actions. I also think it's probably both faith that and faith in, right? You have faith that God exists or faith that the Bible is the word of God, but you also have faith in God, you know? So I think both of those you could use to describe Christian faith. I do think, you know, it's obviously religious faith, not religious faith. That one's easy. And I would like, you know, I think in most cases it would be important faith and not mundane faith. It is, you know, there are people that maybe don't take their religious commitment as super seriously, and maybe for them they treat it as more mundane, but I think it's like an objectively extremely important topic for a lot of reasons. And so I would say it's important faith. So attitude focused, but also action focused, both it, faith that and faith that in, I think, our Christian faith, and it's religious faith and important faith. So that's, I think, how it applies to our distinctions.
So when we talk about like faith, then I think this is something that is coming up a few times just doing this interview with you, but like faith, like when we're thinking about faith, it's not just like, I have this belief that God exists and this belief mm-hmm. that Jesus rose from the dead. But there's so much more like what it means to like have faith and walk in faith than just that. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we'll get into this more too, the exact relationship between faith and belief, but that itself has actually been contested. But yeah, I think a lot of people think, so first of all, faith doesn't just involve belief. It also involves desire. And I can talk more about that in a second, but like, I don't have faith that there was a global pandemic, or I don't have faith that like my kid threw up 10 times last night. He actually didn't, thank God, but you know, if he did, right? Because I view those things as negative and I view them in a bad light. And so belief isn't all that matters. It's also desire, I think a lot of people think is really important. And then I think beyond that, action is really important too. Faith sort of actually shaping our lives and what we do in our decision-making, and not just being this like stagnant mental state that doesn't actually affect the decisions that we make.
Okay, so what are like maybe some of the like different features of faith? Like for someone like to have faith, like what are maybe like some of the features that kind of come out of faith?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to again go through four. And again, it's going to seem like a whirlwind, but that article on the IAP, you can check that out if you want to dive more. So I talked about really four features. So the first I kind of already mentioned is faith is similar to trust. So I think faith, like I said, it's a trusting commitment. I think faith and trust are very closely connected. There might be some small thing like faith might be in some ways broader than trust, but I'm really open to almost using those terms interchangeably. And actually some views of faith even reflect this. So one common view of what faith is it's believing another person's testimony. So like Zach, if I say like, I'll show up for the interview at 4:00 or whatever, Zach believes that believes my testimony and thus demonstrates faith in me. Or if like my husband's like, I'll pick you up at the airport, then I believe his testimony, he'll pick me up at the airport and then demonstrate faith in him. So there are views, I think, that where faith is fundamentally just kind of believing or trusting someone else's testimony. You don't have to necessarily accept that as like the only view of faith or like the main view of faith, though, to think that there's this more general connection between faith and trust, which I think there is. Okay, so trust is the first one. The second one is risk. So what is it to take a risk? When you take a risk, you're basically making a decision in a situation where there's a bad outcome that's possible, but uncertain, right? So you're taking a risk when you're gambling, you're making a decision to gamble where you could lose a bunch of money, but it's uncertain, right? You might instead like win a bunch of money. So risks are basically, there's a bad outcome that's possible, but uncertain. And I actually think faith is really connected to risk. And I think, I mean, this really, based on our definition of risk, will tell us two things about faith versus that. The first is that faith is associated with some degree of uncertainty. And so when we have faith, we're not certain of the propositions of faith. That's actually going to be controversial. I think some people deny that, but I think it's plausible. And then the second is that we exercise faith in cases where there's at least a potentially bad outcome, right? So this, you know, like, you know, thinking about some of our examples, like when you have faith, there is this possibility that the object of faith is unreliable or negative, or the proposition believed is false. For example, my husband picking me up at the airport, right? He could not show up. And that's like a risk that I'm taking in virtue of having faith he'll pick me up at the airport. Or like, to use an even more serious example, you might have religious faith and you're risking like devoting your life to God when, you know, you could waste your life, tithing, going to church every week, all that. If God doesn't exist, there would be a sense in which you wasted your life. But that faith commitment sort of is embraces that risk. So debatable exactly how, does every single instance of faith have to involve risk or just some, you know, there's, you can have some wiggle room here, but I do think faith and risk are often closely connected. So we had trust, we had risk, and then we have two more that are connected. The third is resilience. So we said faith is a trusting commitment. And I think commitments require resilience, because when we make a commitment, we're gonna encounter obstacles. It's almost inevitable. So you commit to finishing a degree, you might get a bad grade on a test. You might fail a class even, you know? You might say, am I really cut out for this major? Am I smart enough? Am I hardworking enough, right? Commitment to a marriage, like everyone knows, even if at the beginning things seem great, marriages can be hard, right? There's miscommunications, a lot of marriages end in divorce. And so when you make a commitment, you're gonna encounter obstacles. You're gonna wonder, should I have made this commitment in the first place? You're gonna get evidence probably that the commitment was a bad one to make. You might lose some of the desires that underlied the commitment in the first place. And so faith is resilient in that it sort of helps us continue in our commitments, even in light of these obstacles. And this is related to a literature in psychology, but also in philosophy as well, known as grit. So grit is this ability to sort of like persevere even through these challenges to achieve long-term difficult goals. And, you know, people in the grit literature even talk about like, surviving like a concentration camp, or like these, like, you know, surviving cancer, like these really, really difficult things that people go through, and how a degree of grit is often what can help people get through these really hard times. And so I think faith is connected to that, because it can help us overcome obstacles and sort of meet our goals and keep and continue in our commitments, even when we get those obstacles. Okay, so we have trust, we have risk, we have resilience. And then the final thing, I think I mentioned this at the beginning, was that this idea that faith goes beyond the evidence. And I think this is actually connected to faith's resilience, because part of what faith can help us do is continue in our commitments, even when we get some evidence we shouldn't have made that commitment in the first place. So you might, like, let's say, I mean, this is kind of my story, right? Like, you make a religious commitment when you're a little kid, you're not really aware of the philosophical literature, the arguments for and against. Maybe you were similar to Zach, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm guessing. And then you kind of like learn, like, oh man, like the problem of evil is really hard. And like, there's a lot of really bad evils. And if God's all good and all powerful, like, why would God allow those evils? Like, that's a really, really hard question. And I would say, to be an intellectually honest Christian, I mean, you both have to confront that, and you have to admit, like, that's a hard problem. And it's not to say you have to give up your commitment. And in fact, I'm kind of saying the opposite. Faith can help you continue in your religious commitment, even in light of that counter evidence, and even in light of maybe those doubts that come along with that counter evidence. And so I do think there's a puzzle in the neighborhood, though, which is like, look, faith because of faith, we can continue in our commitments in light of counter evidence. So faith can go beyond the evidence. But how can that be rational? Like, shouldn't we be sensitive to counter evidence? Shouldn't we not ignore counter evidence? And I think philosophers have done a good job in working out, you know, views and ways. I've even done past interviews on this, maybe even with you, that faith could be rational, but continue in light of counter evidence. But I do think there's a puzzle to be had for how rational faith could go beyond the evidence. And I'll say one quick thing about that puzzle, and then we might touch on it more later. But I do think there's an important difference between faith going beyond the evidence and faith going against the evidence. So when you go beyond the evidence, you're kind of resilient to a degree, even in light of your evidence kind of going up and down and changing somewhat, right? And like this happens in normal everyday cases anyway, right? Like I check the forecast, 90% chance of rain tomorrow. So I believe and I'm very confident there's like a 90% chance of rain tomorrow. And then I check it again and there's like an 85% chance of rain. So my confidence is going to go down a little bit that it's going to rain tomorrow, but I'll still believe like the chance is high enough that it's going to rain, you know? And so like, then maybe it goes up to 98 and then, you know, so like my confidence might fluctuate as the chance of rain changes, but I'm going to continue to believe. So I think just this idea that evidence can fluctuate, but we can continue to believe something or continue to have faith even in light of evidential fluctuations. I think that is like, that just happens all the time. And that's pretty uncontroversially rational. What I think I would not advocate for is all your evidence clearly points to one way, but you believe the opposite or you have faith the opposite is true. That is where I think, no, that would be faith going against the evidence. And I do think there's a point at which you should give up your faith commitments. If all of your evidence says like, you're not cut out for this major, you're just like, but you're just like in total denial and you're just like, nope, I'm going to continue. Like, no, there's a point at which you should probably switch career paths. You know what I'm saying? So faith, yes, could go, you know, beyond the evidence, but I don't think it goes against the evidence. So to review, we talked about four features of faith: trust, and faith as believing or trusting in another's testimony. Risk, faith is associated with making a decision where a bad outcome is possible, but uncertain. Resilience, so faith helps us overcome obstacles to our commitments. And then faith goes beyond the evidence, but not against the evidence.
So Liz, I'm wondering here, like, maybe you might wonder, like, what are like, what's like the value or like the rewards of faith? Like you mentioned, like, well, like to have faith, like it's going to require trust. It's going to require risk. It's going to require resilience and going beyond the evidence. Like for people listening, like what's the reward of faith? Like why, or like what's the value? Like why would you want to have a have faith when it requires all these things?
I mean, here's our situation, right? Like we are fallible humans, right? We get evidence for and against things. We get misleading evidence. We get evidence that points us in the wrong direction. We get evidence that points us in the right direction. We sometimes even misevaluate the evidence, right? And this is actually one reason that I think understanding the relationship between faith and evidence is so important, because the reward of faith is that the thing you put your faith in is either true or a good thing or a worthy cause or whatever, right? So like if I put my faith in God and God exists, that is so valuable, right? Like I dedicated my life to this amazing cause, probably the best possible cause, right? If God exists, I have a relationship with this being that's all good and all powerful and in a lot of ways beyond my comprehension. You know, that's like maybe the most stark example, but you can also consider cases like I have faith in a business partner and I think this business partner has a lot of upsides and could be a really, really good business partner. But, you know, maybe then they like are late for a meeting and then they like don't respond to my email or that, you know, and so I get these little bits of counter evidence. But if they actually are a really good business partner, then that reward of faith is that like we're going to build this beautiful business together and have this great working relationship. You know what I mean? So the reward of faith is that the counter evidence that you receive is misleading. And that does happen, right? When we make commitments, because evidence can lead us in all kinds of directions, some good, some not so good, some aim towards the truth, some not aim towards the truth, because evidence can mislead us. We need something to help us continue in our commitments. And again, not forever. At a certain point, you should give your commitment up. But faith, I think, can help us continue in our commitments even when we get that counter evidence. And the reward is that the object of faith is good or true or a worthy cause.
Yeah, thanks, Liz. So how does faith then relate to like belief? You mentioned this earlier, like does faith like require belief? Like what's the relationship here?
Yeah, good. So I think there's two relationships worth thinking about. One you touched on already, but I'm actually going to talk about the other one first. So most philosophers think that belief doesn't entail faith, or like just because you believe something doesn't mean you have faith that it's true. And I actually gave some examples of this already. Like I believe there was a global pandemic. I believe I missed my flight. You know, I believe that the cup is right here on the table, right? But arguably, like, I don't have faith that those are true because, you know, they're not part of my important life commitments. In the pandemic case, like, I don't want that to be true. I think that's a horrible thing. I guess same for the flight case. So there's a lot of things that we believe. Believing is just like representing something as true in the world, but that doesn't really make a value judgment about it, right? We can believe things that are good. We can believe things that are bad. Belief is like, I would say, like, we have a lot of beliefs, and not everything we believe we have faith in. So belief doesn't entail faith. Here's a much harder question that people are pretty divided on. Does faith entail belief? So if you have faith that something is true, do you have to believe that? And basically, in the article, I outline three views that philosophers have taken. I'm happy to like say the view that I like, although because of the material we're covering, I maybe won't have a chance to like answer all the objections or anything. But there's really three views. So the first view is that faith always involves a belief. Faith might involve more stuff than belief, like desire or other things. But if you have faith that something is true, you believe that it's true. And there's a number of people who defend this view. And again, a lot of them think it's belief plus some other stuff. So belief plus desire, or belief plus commitment, or plus certain emotions or whatever. But faith involves belief. Okay. The second view is that faith involves an attitude that's belief-like, but it doesn't always have to just be a belief. So belief is like a common, you know, attitude we talk about all the time. You believe things, you don't believe things. But we also have other similar attitudes towards things that aren't just beliefs. So like high confidence, like I'm highly confident that it will rain tomorrow. Arguably that's different than just flat out believing it will rain tomorrow, or thinking something's the most likely of the alternatives you're considering, thinking something is more probable than not. So there's like confidence levels, probability beliefs. These things say like, they indicate like this is supported by the evidence or this is likely, right? But it doesn't always have to be a flat out belief. That's actually the view I like. I think sometimes faith can involve belief. Sometimes it can involve these other belief-like attitudes. And I don't think that we have to say faith, like faith just is a belief or a belief plus. But I'm not really arguing for that here, but more just flagging. That's like the view I like. And then the third view is sometimes these are called pragmatic views of faith. They're also called non-doxastic views of faith. That just means non-belief. Doxastic means like related to belief. Philosophers like to take easy words and then give them these annoying, difficult, hard words, doxastic, for example. So, but yeah, the third view of faith is non-doxastic views of faith, where basically faith is not a mental state at all. It's like an action, or it's something pragmatic, or maybe it's just a desire or something like that. So on these views, faith is not belief. It's not belief-like. It's just, it's totally different than belief and doesn't have to involve belief or anything belief-like. My opinion on that is I'm like, okay, guys, like, sure, but maybe you're just talking about action-focused faith. So maybe the debate is really actually between whether faith involves beliefs or something belief-like. And that's about attitude-focused faith. And then maybe there's just this other thing, which is action-focused faith. And maybe because we're not like making that distinction clear enough, that's why we think there's actually a debate about whether all three of these are true. But maybe this third camp, they're just talking about a different kind of thing, a different way of having faith, which is faith in your actions. And then faith as a mental state is either going to involve something like a belief or something belief-like. So the cases where you just like think something is super, super, super unlikely, but you like maybe really want it to be true. Like maybe a case where someone like gets falsely accused of something and goes to prison and then they're trying to escape. Like, and then they're like, oh, like I'm really, really good. Like, I think it's unlikely, but like, just think about it. What if I made it out? That I would describe as hope, actually, not faith. Because the thing is so unlikely that you don't have a belief or a belief like attitude towards it. So that's where I would say that's actually not faith. That's hope. But yeah, so that's kind of my shtick is like, I think the real debates between whether faith involves something, a belief or something belief-like. And then I think the other views are just describing action-focused faith, but that kind of gives you an overview of like the ways that people have kind of put forth about the way faith might relate to belief.
Do you think that like everybody has faith in something? Because I know like sometimes like you get into like the YouTube realm or whatever, mm-hmm. or the podcast realm, when people are like, oh, like I don't have faith in anything, I just like believe in evidence, or something along these lines. Like, does everyone like have faithless?
I mean, I would say yes, But that's like, of course, it just means like all that all just hangs on how you define faith. Because I think faith is like basically it's just a commitment, right? So I think we all have commitments. We have commitments to ourselves, to our goals, to like think about New Year's resolutions. A lot of those I think involve faith. We have commitments to our friends, to our family. If you're married or have a long-term partner, you have a commitment. If you have kids, you have a commitment, right? We also have commitments to goals or ideals, right? Like you might have a commitment to like further the atheist cause or a commitment to science or whatever, you know? And so then these people say, oh, no, I don't have faith. But then like, they're basically like, I think a lot of them, they're just defining faith as a different thing. So when they say, I don't have faith, what they mean is like, I'm not believing against the evidence, or I'm like not ignoring evidence when I form my beliefs. And then it's just, we're not really disagreeing because we just mean different things by faith. What I mean by faith is like a trusting commitment. What they mean by faith is like ignoring evidence when you form beliefs or believing things you know are false or something, you know? And so then that's where I was like suggesting like, maybe use a different word like trust or something if you don't like the word faith. But I don't think that faith is essentially like believing against evidence or is essentially believing things we know are false. I think that's just like not a charitable way to look at what faith is. But again, like if they're really going to get hung up on the word faith, then I can just use a different term.
So maybe then like we talked about like how faith relates to belief, Liz. How does faith relate to like other states? Like in the paper or the article, you mentioned things like doubt and desire and hope and acceptance. How does faith relate to these other states?
Yeah, good. So I think that there is a couple states, the ones you just mentioned, that are associated with faith but distinct. And maybe I'll just try to talk about all of them briefly. So doubt. I think a lot of people initially think, oh, faith and doubt are opposed to each other. Like if you have faith, you never doubt. And if you doubt, you don't have faith. I actually think that's not really the right way to think about it. So I actually think if faith plays the role that I've kind of been laying out throughout the course of this interview so far, what it's doing is it's helping us in our commitments and helping us in our commitments in light of obstacles we might face. Well, one of the biggest obstacles we might face is doubt, as a result of some like counter evidence often. And that doubt might make us question the commitment. And then what faith does is it helps us to continue in that commitment, even in light of the doubt. And I mean, I think there's like, you know, there's a lot I could say here about a biblical case for this too. Like people in the Bible, like the man, what is it? His daughter's sick. I think he says, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, I don't think that Jesus is like, if you doubt, that's a sin. I actually think that's not the right way to look at it at all. Because I think like people have genuine intellectual questions. And I think Jesus meets people where they're at with those questions and doesn't tell them just to stifle their doubts. And I definitely think we shouldn't tell people to stifle their doubts because it's not demonstrating faith, but actually that you should embrace your doubts and like rely on your faith to help you in that commitment, even in spite of those doubts. So I don't see doubts as opposed to faith. I see faith as helping us getting through our commitments in light of doubts. So that's doubt. Desire, I actually already kind of talked about, but the main idea here that most philosophers think there's like two people that question this, but most people think that faith involves a desire or at least viewing the object of faith positively. So if I have faith that God exists, I view God's existence positively. If I have faith in my marriage, I view my marriage positively. And that doesn't mean I never question that, or that doesn't mean I like, sometimes I'm like, is this really a good thing? Right. But like similar to belief, I think you could have, you could even be conflicted about it, but still like see like some positive element of the object of faith. And that's really going to be the key thing. So I think it's interesting how people, especially in like contemporary Christian circles, like talk and think and focus so much on belief and don't really talk that much about desire, when actually I think desire is super important. It's like a really big motivating force. Like, why do we act the way we act? Well, often because of our desires, right? If I believe there's food in the fridge, but I don't want food, that's not going to motivate me to go to the fridge. Like you need that desire component, you know? So I think it's interesting how belief focused we are, and we're not as focused on desires. And that's not to say, like Jonathan Edwards has this whole thing on religious affections. I think that's great, but I would like to see like people talking as much about desires as they are talking about beliefs, because desires are a really important part of faith. So that's doubt, desire. Okay, hope, also sort of touched on this already, but I think hope is in a lot of ways similar to faith, but it can kind of be a fallback when you get so much evidence that you can't have faith anymore. So it might be like, oh, I have faith that, you know, it'll be sunny tomorrow because I have a picnic planned. And then it's like, oh, there's like a 98% chance of rain. So I shouldn't have faith that it's going to be sunny anymore, but I can still hope it's going to be sunny tomorrow because of my picnic. And basically what hope is you really want the thing to be true and you think there's some chance that it's true. And I even think too, like, someone could be in a position where they're like, I think there's not much evidence for God's existence or for Christianity, but I think it would be such a good thing. And I think it's possible that God exists. And that good person could hope that God exists, hope that Christianity is true. And I've actually argued in virtue of that, they could make some kind of religious commitment. You know, it's not the full blown, maybe traditional kind of religious commitment that's often associated with belief, but I still think it could put them, you know, on a path to really getting to faith and even getting to belief eventually. So I think we shouldn't overlook hope. I think hope is really important and can be really motivating in really difficult circumstances related to grit, as what we were talking about before, like overcoming, you know, cancer or a concentration camp. Hope is really key in those kinds of circumstances. Okay. And then the last one is acceptance. I know this is like whirlwind, but acceptance is when you act on something. And I think a lot of philosophers think when you act on something, that's really closely associated with faith. When you have faith that your like partner is a good spouse, then you'll act on that, right? When you have faith that it will be sunny tomorrow, you'll act on that. Or like when I have faith my husband will pick me up at the airport, like when I get off the plane, I'm not going to call a taxi, right? I'm going to like wait for him to pick me up, again, acting on it. So I think a lot of people think faith and action are very closely connected. So to review, well, we first talked about faith and belief, and then we talked about faith and doubt. So faith isn't opposed to doubt, but faith can help us in light of doubts. Faith and desire. Desire is really important to faith, and we have a positive view towards the objects of faith. Faith and hope. So hope is similar to faith, but consistent with lower probabilities. And then acceptance. Faith is associated with acceptance or acting on the propositions of faith.
So thank you, Liz. I really appreciate you kind of going through that. The last thing I wanted to talk about with you is like the rationality of mm-hmm. faith. You talked about like if like the conception of faith that you have, it seems like everybody has faith in something. Mm-hmm. How does like is faith rational then? Because it seems like to me, like just thinking about it, like even without thinking about the arguments, well, we don't want to say everyone's irrational. So obviously faith in some sense would be rational. Yeah. How do we like evaluate faith and determine like, is it rational to have faith?
Good. Yeah. So here's a really important thing that I think a lot of people overlook. I think Christians overlook this, is that faith is not always rational and faith is not always irrational. So like think about beliefs, right? Some beliefs are irrational. My belief, like there's a desk right here, my belief that it's 4:36 PM, right? Those are rational beliefs, but sometimes beliefs are irrational. Like, you know, think about like cases of self-deception or like my belief, like my kid's going to be an NBA player. I mean, I don't actually believe that, like at least not every single day, but you know, like probably not a rational belief, right? Given like the very small percentage of people that actually end up being NBA players, right? So beliefs can be rational, beliefs can be irrational. I basically think faith is the same way. Faith can be rational and faith can be irrational. So it's rational to like have faith in things that you have decent evidence for, that you have a good reason to think would be like good for you or promote your flourishing, you know, faith in your friends and family, faith in, you know, like central commitments in life projects, right? Like that's often rational. But like faith that your horoscope is the answer to all your problems, right? Faith that, you know, like the magic eight ball is going to give you all the answers. Like, that's not rational, you know? So we can have faith that is irrational and we can have faith that is rational. And a lot of it just depends on the object of faith and also like your evidence and your position towards that object. So I think that's a really important but overlooked point, is that we shouldn't just make these blanket statements about faith. Faith's always rational, faith's always irrational. Like it depends, you know? So that's like one really important thing to say. Okay, beyond that, when we want to get into the specifics of when faith is rational versus when it's not, I really think we need to make distinctions between different ways we might evaluate faith. So in the encyclopedia entry, I really make three main distinctions. So faith's epistemic rationality, faith's practical rationality, and then like faith, is faith morally good or morally permissible? Say moral rationality isn't really what philosophers say. So like how do we evaluate faith morally, I guess would be a way to think about it. So we can talk about each of those. The first is faith's epistemic rationality. So epistemic rationality is like often when we think about what makes beliefs rational or irrational, that's what we're thinking of. And it's basically truth concerned. So when a belief is rational, it's or epistemically rational, it's rational in a way that makes it likely to be a true belief. And a lot of people think it's, you know, following your evidence or using a reliable method to form the belief. Like, those are things that makes beliefs rational. And I think, so when people have thought about faith's epistemic rationality, they've really thought about this puzzle, which we sort of touched on already, which is, how could faith be epistemically rational and also go beyond the evidence? And I think people have really thought about this puzzle in conjunction with this view that's often known as evidentialism. So evidentialism is the view that what makes an attitude rational is that it accords with the evidence, or is proportioned to the evidence, or follows the evidence, something like that. And so, you know, given sort of that setup, I think there's really three views here. The first view is that faith is consistent with evidentialism, and rational faith just respects the evidence, even if it maybe in some small way goes beyond it. So maybe like the evidence is limited in certain ways, or when we have faith, we trust someone else's testimony and like maybe ignore like pieces of counter evidence and give their testimony more weight. So we're still kind of proportioning our faith to the evidence, but maybe, you know, you have to work out the sense in which faith is going beyond the evidence. So that's, I think, a pretty plausible view. Probably the view that I would hold is that we don't have to deny evidentialism to say that faith goes beyond the evidence, but, you know, working out the details, there is a challenge there to explain how that works. And I have my own views. This is actually part of, I'm working on a recent book, and I'm hoping to kind of flesh this out more near the end of the book. Another thing you can do is you can actually deny evidentialism. So you can say evidentialism isn't a norm of epistemic rationality, but there's like something else that makes like an attitude epistemically rational, and then faith meets that other thing. So like one views here is like externalist views that say like what makes an attitude rational is that it's like functioning properly or reliable or something, and then give a story about why, like this would be Alvin Plantinga's view, why faith is the result of proper function or reliability. And the final way you can go is actually just accepting, like saying, like, I think faith is irrational. Then if you want to say faith is irrational, you could say, well, but faith is, you know, there's really two sub camps. Some people say faith is irrational and we should avoid it at all costs, like the new atheists or something might say that. And then there's also people that say faith is irrational, but that's like a good thing. That's like a feature of faith. And that's also often known as fideism. So anyway, the point is, there's a puzzle about how faith could go beyond the evidence, but that respect evidentialism. And then there's different ways you might solve that, either by denying evidentialism or giving a story about why going beyond the evidence is consistent with evidentialism. And on those views, I think what you're trying to do is give a story about when faith is rational, but again, leaving open that sometimes faith might not be. And then there's other views that just say faith is like always irrational because it goes beyond the evidence. And then like we talked about, there's really two views there, the new atheist view and then the fideist view. Okay, so that's kind of a summary of what people have said about faith's epistemic rationality, at least some of it. It's not everything, there's a lot I could say. But let's move to faith's practical rationality. So like we said, epistemic rationality is like this truth-concerned rationality. Practical rationality is more about what is good for you, what is conducive to your flourishing, what kind of meets your desires, fulfills your desires. So like brushing your teeth is practically rational, right? It's like good for you to, you know, have good dental hygiene, right? Saving for retirement is practically rational. Pursuing your dream job is practically rational. So the question is faith practically rational? And again, I think we're going to want to not give a single answer for all kinds of faith. So it's going to depend on the object of faith. Sometimes faith is definitely practically rational. Like faith helps us again in our important like relationships and in our important life commitments. I keep saying that over and over again, but I do think that's really central to faith. But sometimes faith might not be, right? Like faith in my abusive ex-boyfriend, I don't have an abusive ex-boyfriend, but if I did, that would not be rational. You know what I'm saying? So I would say the answer is it depends. I do think that one thing that's really interesting to note here is that faith can actually be practically rational, even in the face of really, really low probabilities. And even in cases where maybe faith wouldn't be epistemically rational, it could actually be practically rational. So an example I give in the article is like, let's say your brother goes missing and he's been missing for quite a while, to the point where you think there's actually like a low probability that he's still alive. Sorry, I feel like I'm going to sneeze. Okay, maybe not. You can cut this. Okay. I was like, just had this super strong inclination to sneeze. Okay. Okay. So your brother's missing. You think there's like a decent probability that your brother is no longer alive, but you nonetheless continue to search for your brother. You like put up missing posters. You know, go search in nearby areas, like get together people to search for him, all this stuff. This can actually be rational to do, even in the face of there being a low probability that your brother's alive, because of how good it would be if your brother was alive and you did find him, right? And so maybe at a certain point, your evidence is you have so little evidence that it's epistemically irrational for you to have faith that your brother's alive, but it could be practically rational for you to have faith in the sense that you take these actions that are like, continue to try to find your brother. So what's interesting here, again, is that even if faith isn't epistemically irrational, it could still be practically rational in these cases. Okay, so we talked about epistemic rationality, we talked about practical rationality, and then the third way we might kind of evaluate faith is from a moral perspective. So is faith morally good? Is faith morally permissible? Is faith a virtue? And actually this last thing, is faith a virtue? That's kind of a common theme you'll see a lot in the philosophical literature, people talking about faith as a virtue or looking at faith as a virtue. And here I would again say, I've said this about the other two as well, but I don't think faith is always a virtue, because I think it's going to depend on the object of faith. You could have faith in like an evil cause, or in an evil person, or in someone that wants to like destroy the world or commit genocide or whatever. That is not morally good faith, right? Faith is not a virtue in those cases. That said, though, I do think faith can be a virtue. Just it depends, again, on the object of faith. So faith in our friends, in our family, in morally good causes, I think is not only can be a virtue, but I think is not, and I think is not only morally permissible, but I actually think could be morally required, right? Like, it would be really weird if you had a bunch of friends and family and like didn't have faith in them, right? And again, it's like, okay, if you don't want to use the word faith, you could use the word trust or something else, but I think you have a commitment to them. And that demonstrates what I mean by faith. You trust them, you have a relationship with them, you rely on them, you believe what they say, those kinds of things. And so I actually think faith is not only morally permissible, but in some cases can be morally required. So to sum up this last section, faith is sometimes rational and sometimes irrational. I think that's a really important point, but I do think faith can be epistemically rational. When you have, you know, sufficient evidence, even if it's not perfect evidence, and even if faith sometimes goes beyond the evidence, I think faith can still be epistemically rational. Faith can be practically rational, and even practically rational in light of low probabilities. And also, faith can be morally permissible, even morally required, and a virtue. So that's my last little spiel.
Well, Liz, this has been so helpful. Thank you. Is there anything else you want to say or bring up here about faith or whatnot that you didn't get to cover so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think like one of the biggest things that I like to, I've repeated this several times, but like I encourage people to define what you mean by faith when you're talking to other people, because I feel like this word is just often abused a lot. It's also like used in weird ways in Christian circles too. Like, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I actually made a video about that on my own channel because I don't like people saying that, because what it indicates is that faith is like opposed to the amount of evidence that there is. And that's not really how I view faith. I think it's like the less evidence you have, the more faith you have to have. Like, I just don't know. I think faith is like this feature that helps us continue in our commitments, but we shouldn't be like ashamed to have faith or like want to have less faith than the atheists or something, you know? So I do think like one, just like be really clear about what you mean by faith, and be careful too. Like, people might be using the word in different ways. People often use faith as like opposed to doubt or opposed to evidence. And I think that's not really correct either. I think like define our terms, you know, be careful what we're saying when we mean faith. And if you're having a debate with someone about faith, you might just be disagreeing about what the word means. And I think it's important to keep that in mind. But I will say too, I know this was fast, I know this was a lot, but if people want to check out, it's in the Internet Encyclopedia of Philosophy, and it's called Faith, Contemporary Perspectives. And I go into all this in a lot more detail and give like citations and stuff too. So if you're interested in the philosophy literature on faith, I think that actually could be a really great place to start. And then you can kind of look at the reference list too and see some of the things that I cite there. But yeah, I actually think, I think there's a lot of really cool work being done on faith and philosophy. And so I'm really glad, I'm happy to be on this channel and talk about it, because I think it can really benefit people that are interested in these topics and Christians as well.
Yeah, you've helped me to even just see even more like how wide-ranging faith is and what it means and like kind of how it impacts different aspects of our lives. Liz, I'll leave a link down below to this article. Is there anywhere else where people can like follow you, connect with you, things like that you want to share?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think looking at my website is a good place. So that's liz-jackson.com, liz-jackson.com. And if you want to like kind of nerd out on my more academic-y stuff, you can look at the research page and I have links to a bunch of my academic articles there. If you're not really into that, you don't want to like go read philosophy journal articles. If you click on my public philosophy page, I actually have a link to my YouTube channel, which I admittedly do not update as much as I should, but I do have a ton of videos on there on faith, on Pascal's Wager, on critical thinking, on epistemology, on a bunch of stuff. So check that out. But then also on that public philosophy page, I just have like blog posts I've done and, you know, interviews like this I've done, podcasts, like all that stuff. And so that's more, like I would say, less specialized, more publicly accessible stuff. If you're kind of like interested in this, but don't want to go, like I said, read the journal articles. So I would say my website and then the links in that are the best place to find me.
Well, awesome. I'll leave some links down below where people can follow Liz. Thank you so much, Liz, for coming on today. I really appreciate your time. I encourage everyone to check out Liz and what she's doing. I'll leave some links down below. And Liz, one last time, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate you. And if you enjoyed Hearing Apologetics, be sure to like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Forgot that. But Liz, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you and your time and everything you're doing.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and go Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't think I'll say that again unless they're playing like the 49ers. But I mean, it worked for yesterday.
Yesterday was great. I'm still on the high. Anyway, good to talk to you, Zach.
Yeah, thank you everyone for listening. I hope you have a good one and God bless. We'll catch you next time.